What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedule Fly. This episode is with Sarah Knowles, who, along with her husband, own Restaurant Homer, as well as Milk Drunk out in Seattle, Washington. And boy, have they built a really cool, balanced life. Their family lives just a couple blocks from the restaurants. Homer is their dog, by the way. And I found out that Sarah is from Homer, Alaska. That's where that name originated from. But, you know, it was really a pleasure talking to Sarah and just, you know, young family, kids. Her husband's been at the restaurant business for many years as a chef. But they've been in the business of owning their own restaurants for just a few years now. And they're doing really well, and they're trying to find really good balance in life and trying to figure out, you know, they've got the two. Do they want to grow? Milk Drunk's the concept they could grow if they do, but there's stuff that comes with that, trying to get everything sort of tightened up and buttoned up in case they do, but also enjoying life and enjoying being able to walk to both restaurants and be around to be with young kids. And that's a really good conversation, a really real conversation that a lot of young restaurant owners have to deal with these issues and ask these questions of themselves, or hopefully they do. Sometimes they look back and wish they had spent more time trying to figure this stuff out. So great conversation with Sarah. Really enjoy talking to her. Awesome places. If you're in Seattle, check out Restaurant Homer and Milk Drunk and enjoy this episode. Oh, and by the way, they have a great team of people helping them, including Kika, who is their director of operations, who got Schedule Fly going there at Restaurant Homer recently and is awesome. So good folks, good team, happy neighborhood customers, cool story. Y'all check it out. Before we get to the episode, a quick word from Pop Menu, our sponsor. They are a partner of Schedule Fly, and Pop Menu is all about making your day easier and your sales bigger. They will simplify your marketing operations, bring in more guests, capture customer data for personalized remarketing to keep them coming back. With one super simple to use platform that integrates with most point of sales like Toast and Square and many others, Pop Menu starts with a beautifully designed, easy to update interactive menu that transforms the guest experience online. It includes a brand new website that's optimized for search engines like Google for no additional cost, automated digital marketing, online ordering and waitlisting, and you'll never miss another call with their AI answering solution that costs as little as 47 cents an hour. Plus, so much more is in there. There's a link to Pop Menu in the show notes. That's what they like me to say. I will say this. We have a lot of mutual customers at Schedule Fly that also use Pop Menu. And the ones I've spoken to have said great product, great people, great customer service, and great results. So check them out and check out this episode with Sarah Knowles out in Seattle, Washington, Restaurant Homer and Milk Drunk. Y'all have a good one. More episodes coming soon. If you're listening on Spotify, give us a follow. If you're listening on iTunes, give us a rating. All these things will help this podcast get to more people because the algorithm picks that up and spreads it around. All right. See ya.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Sarah? How you doing?
So sorry. I just suck. I was helping my sister with something and just lost track of time.
That's all right. All good.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going all right. It's going all right. I appreciate you taking the time to do this today. Been a while since I've spoken to somebody out in Seattle.
I was going to say, you do not sound like you're from here.
We're in North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
We have about 6,000 restaurants around the US, and like some of those are in Canada. But I mean, we've got customers out there. It's just, in fact, I came out there one time years ago, filmed a video series with Willie Boutillier. You know him? Mm-hmm. They're down, I'm drawing a blank on the name of his restaurant. It's down there next to that, in that market area.
Pike Place?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Pike Place Market. Yep. Nice. Beautiful city you have. Lush and green and just beautiful.
Yeah, that's a good, like right now is peak, like green, all the flowers are blooming. It feels good.
Are you from that area?
I'm from Alaska originally, but we've lived here for like 11 years.
You're from Alaska.
Yeah.
You're the first person I've ever known that's from Alaska. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, as close as I can get without actually being there.
I got you. Well, so, well, tell me about, you've got a, what a cool story y'all have. I love just the whole, you know, how is Homer the dog doing? I guess I'll ask that first.
Homer's great. I know he's not here right now. Otherwise I would, you know, introduce you formally, but no, he's sweet. He's 7, which is such a good, like, you know, they're starting to calm down, but no health issues, just like a good sweet spot for a dog.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic.
I'm glad that we named the restaurant after him because, you know, we live 2 blocks from the restaurant and now he's sort of like a little fixture in the neighborhood, which I think just makes it even feel more special. And, you know, people recognize him, which is funny.
When did y'all open the restaurant?
2018.
Yep. Okay. And this is, so it's you and your husband, Logan?
Yep.
Okay. Did, and how, like, what's your backstory, Sarah? How did you get into hospitality initially?
So Logan and I met at a restaurant in DC. We were living in DC when we met. He's from Northern Virginia, but kind of cooked in DC for many years. And I had just quit a job. I was working in the Obama administration and was kind of like feeling a little burnt out. And a friend of mine was like, oh, you know, my buddy works at this restaurant. You can come be a server there. And it was, so I quit that job and started serving and working at this little furniture shop. And met Logan and we worked there together, I think for about a year and then decided to move out west. So he, I think he always, you know, he's from the East Coast, but always had this idea in his head that the West Coast would be a really fun place both to live and also just kind of an inspired place to cook.
Yeah, for sure.
The ingredients of the Pacific Northwest and sort of the bounty and access to different seafood and flora and fauna. So he was super excited about it. And I was excited because it meant moving closer to family and being closer to home. So we spent, that was in 2011, and that summer we spent, no, 2013, sorry, spent living in Alaska, in Homer, Alaska, for the summer.
Okay.
And that was sort of what inspired ultimately when we got our dog, the name for the dog, and then the restaurant.
I gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, I don't really have a hospitality background. I mean, and my role at the restaurant is much more systems, kind of back end spreadsheets, operations, and design, because I do interior design. So I did the build out and the design, which was really fun. But it's obviously, that's kind of a finite chapter in the evolution of a restaurant.
Yeah, for sure. But you did it. I mean, it's really well done. I was going to ask you about that. I mean, your aesthetics is really cool. Website, all of it. Really well done.
We, you know, got lucky. It's an old brick building. So it has a lot of character and charm and, you know, transformed it. Totally, but at least it has that kind of fundamental kind of sweetness about it.
Do you own the building?
No, I wish.
But you live 2 blocks away, huh?
Yeah, we live 2 blocks away, so which is great. I mean, there's sometimes it feels like, you know, we don't get out of this neighborhood, but I wouldn't change it for anything.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, yeah. So you opened in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to, I mean, were y'all planning it for several years prior to that? Or
I think the longest stretch of that planning process was just finding a space. Like, you know, that's kind of the one thing you can't change is the location. So we were pretty particular about, someone's coming into my house. I'm going to go upstairs. Sorry, 1 second.
Yeah, all good.
We were pretty particular about where it was going to be. You can get a little tour of my house.
Yeah.
So I think that, and we actually, funnily enough, we signed on a space and then we ended up losing our earnest money and bailing because it was just this like kind of cold feet. Like, this is not the right location. It's not the right size. But when you want to open your own business, you kind of, you know, you feel like this need to move forward. And thank God we kind of trusted our gut, because then a few months later found the space that we're ultimately in. But I think the whole process was like a few years of like, you know, coming up with a business plan, financing, design, the whole thing.
And did you, and so you have another place, right? Milk Drunk?
Yeah. So that is also down the street. And kind of a similar, like, cute standalone brick building. Both of our landlords live in the neighborhood, so it all feels very like neighborhoody, which is nice. And at Homer, we have a little soft serve window. So soft serve is like our main dessert. So you can walk up the window and get a cone, or you can obviously eat it at the restaurant. But so Milk Drunk is sort of a spin-off, like a more casual, it's like soft serve cocktails and fried chicken.
Did you, so did you open that after Homer?
Yeah, so we opened that in August of 2020.
Oh, what, you opened in August of 2020?
Yeah, which, like, you know, when the pandemic hit, we were already, we were in the middle of construction.
Yeah.
So it delayed it a little bit. And funnily enough, I feel like it ended up, I mean, it kind of kicked our butts, honestly, to open that. Like, we had a 7-month-old. We were trying to open a new restaurant, pandemic, years, whatnot. But for the concept it was, which is kind of a more quick service takeout, it ended up being a good fit for that time. So that's, I guess, one silver lining of opening a restaurant in a pandemic. It's not like we were trying to open a fine dining sit down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, now, okay.
Really, so, like, a good complement to each other, I think.
Well, I mean, I bet there's a lot of people, for so many reasons, fried chicken and soft serve ice cream during the pandemic, comfort food, quick,
exactly.
Easy takeout stuff. So was Restaurant Homer your first restaurant that y'all owned?
Yep. Yeah. So Logan worked, you know, he's worked in many different restaurants. He started cooking right out of college, so for 20 years, but that was the first one that we owned.
And when you were working on your plan, a couple of things I want to ask you about. One is, I mean, you don't have to share details, but like when you mentioned financing, do y'all borrow or get investors or both?
Combination. So we took out a home equity loan on our house, and that, you know, it's a lot. You put so much, there's so much risk in opening a restaurant. And thank God it went well, because if it doesn't, and also, you know, when you sign a lease, you're signing a personal guarantee for the most part. And that's probably varies state by state, but in our state, you kind of sign your life away. So it was a combination of borrowed money, like from family, which, you know, paid back, but kind of less scary maybe than borrowing from a bank. Mm. And obviously feel grateful that we were even able to do that. And then took out a loan on our house, and then one investor, which has worked out really well. You know, we kind of thought, oh, do we have a million small investors? Is that better? Do you have one bigger investor? I remember our friend at the time was like, I don't know how true this is, but it's resonated with us, was like, the people who give you the smallest amount of money are going to be the biggest thorns in your side. Like, a small amount of money to someone is a big deal to them, of course.
Yep, that's right.
It worked out really well we have one couple that helped us. I think we feel lucky in that regard. There's not a lot of like cooks in the kitchen.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you get a bunch of smaller investors, and then everybody has different time frames and their needs change. And for somebody that, you know, can only invest $2,500 or $5,000, that's probably a ton of money to that person. And then you're having to deal with communicating with all these folks, and that takes a lot of time and energy and stressful. So good for y'all. Really good for y'all. It's an interesting proposition. It really is a big risk. I mean, you must have had nights where you're like, are we really doing this? Like, are we really going to put our home on the line and personal, get like, you know, all the equity? Like, do you have those conversations, or did y'all feel like once you decided, like, let's we're going to figure this out and we're going to make it work?
It kind of felt like once it was in motion, the train had left the station, like it was happening.
Yeah.
And also, I think in restaurants, like you do for Logan, so, you know, he was the head chef at a nice restaurant, but you do sort of plateau in terms of your, you know, ability to have a flexible schedule or just your earning potential. Like, I think within that industry, there's sort of a cap. And then if you're not an owner, like, you know, you just sort of hit a little bit of a wall. And so for us, it was kind of like, all right, we have this combination of talents. Like, I can do a lot of the systems and backend. Logan's obviously more like, I'm not dictating the menu. He's obviously kind of like the creative engine. And so, you know, I can see how hard it would be for someone to do alone. And I think for us, thank God our talents complement each other and we get along and that it went well. But there's definitely a leap of faith for sure. And that I think is where the location really mattered. Like, it's a kind of a sliding doors moment. I don't know what would have happened if we had been at the other spot, but there's a huge part of our success is, you know, I think we're churning out a good product, but also like it is in a spot where there's good foot traffic and visibility and, you know, that is so important. Obviously you can't have a crap restaurant in a good location, but it's like a symphony of so many different factors that just make it work.
A symphony of so many different factors is a great way to put it. I mean, the restaurant business, you have to master so many different skills. Good that y'all have those complementary skills and good that y'all are able to, you know, do this as a couple. I mean, business partnerships are hard, even with good balance, complementary skills and all that kind of stuff. And to do as a couple too, that's pretty awesome. So
spend a lot of time together. Also, kind of ironically, so we had a baby, 9 months after we opened or 10 months. And I think in a weird way, having a child also forced us to be better delegators. So instead of kind of micromanaging staff or feeling like super perfectionist, I mean, you can't, like, you have a newborn, you have to kind of take, you know, your priority shift and you just end up spending a little bit less time at the restaurant, at least for a little bit. And so I think for me in particular, that helped me kind of, you know, just not be as concerned with every little granular detail, but kind of think about more big picture stuff.
It's funny how things that sometimes in life, like we have to be forced into things that we wind up realizing make us better or, you know, make our business better. I mean, like COVID forced a lot of people to do a lot of things to their restaurants or change a lot of things that they probably had on their list but hadn't gotten to or whatever. And
oh my God, yeah, like the patios and all the things that people are. Well, you in North Carolina, you have probably a little more optimal outdoor seating weather. But here we had to be super creative about, you know, how do you get people seated and comfortable? And yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people in a weird way now are benefiting from that kind of forced ingenuity.
No doubt about it. I mean, sometimes those like really short, you know, really acute shocks, like they cause that. I mean, I have three kids, so I know what it's like having a young one and just trying to figure out like, how do you balance the things that you thought were like an important part of your day or whatever you did prior to that. You realize, you know, well, we got to figure out another way around this. How old is it, a boy or girl?
I have a girl, so she'll be 4 this summer.
She'll be 4. I bet she loves that salsa of ice cream.
Oh my God. It's like, I think she's just realizing like, oh my God, my parents own ice cream stores. What's that?
Does Homer get to have ice cream too?
Oh yeah, of course. He's always getting his little.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, so tell me about what's happened with staff over the last couple of years. It seemed like during COVID, a lot of people kind of left the industry. It sort of seems like some are coming back, or it's not quite as hard to hire anymore, but that also seems to be depending on where you are in the country as well. I'm curious how it's going there.
I think you're pretty much nailed it. Like, there was definitely a period where, I mean, truly, like, we used to get a lot of just emails like, hey, if you're hiring, here's my resume, kind of. Or we would post an ad and you'd get so many responses. And then there was a while where, I mean, just nothing. Like, you couldn't. And we ended up hiring a lot of people who probably, to be honest, were underqualified, but you just needed a warm body.
Yeah.
And some of those people have actually ended up, you know, it's been fun. Like, I think there's certain cooks in particular who might've been a little green, but have, you know, we've been able to train and But there was a definitely, we've had some staff that have been there from day one. Like we've had people who have been there for 4 years. And then there was a period where it felt like this just immense amount of churn and turnover. And obviously there was a period where we just didn't have that many staff because we were just doing takeout, or it was a pretty like skeleton crew. But I feel like now things are definitely better. Like it, I wouldn't say they're 100% back to normal, but it feels like it's a little bit easier to hire and retain. But yeah, there was like a 9 to 12 month period where it was pretty bad. Or someone would onboard and then quit. Like it just, I don't know, there wasn't, you didn't have that like sense of family that our restaurant always had, just sort of this like revolving door, and we couldn't quite figure out why.
You think so that's starting to come back a little bit?
It feels like it's getting a little better. Yeah.
Well, so do y'all have plans for new concepts or what you have?
I feel like our quality of life is so good because the two spots are in our neighborhood that, you know, Milk Drum, for example, would be an easy thing to replicate. Like it's very, it's kind of designed in a way to do that. And that had always been our vision. And we might one day, but there's also, like, I know from talking to other people with multiple restaurants, like the second you have to go to, you know, drive 20 minutes to get to that spot or go there, it does change your quality of life. And I think having a young kid and, you know, wanting to grow family, I just am very loath to do anything that is going to make our life harder and not be, you know, it's really tempting to just expand and do more. And I don't know, I'm kind of a little bit, I guess, abnormal in that sense. I just want to have my, like, I just want to keep things the way they are.
You know, I don't know that you are necessarily. I mean, it just depends. I mean, we've been doing this 16 years and we've seen people that, you know, that growth is really the driver and that's what their objective is. And we've seen, I mean, I know so many people that have concepts that could full on, you know, expand and open more locations or franchise or both or whatever. But it's that, you know, you always come back like, well, what are we doing this for? You know, is it to, you know, make tons and tons of money and be working 100 hours a week and managing thousands of people? Or is it just to, you know, have good balance and good quality of life? And there's a lot of people in the restaurant, independent restaurant business that, you know, that's important, which is cool because then it makes what you are doing at Milk Drunk and at Restaurant Homer just unique. And it you know, increases demand when there's, you know, they're not everywhere. And then people want to, you know, they probably drive further to come and visit because they hear good things. And
yeah, like Homer, for example, we would never duplicate because it just feels like it would almost dilute like how special this one is. Like it's definitely one and done. Whereas Milk Drunk, it's like, I don't think that would really fundamentally alter, you know, how people experience it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, and I think also, I mean, to comment on your product, like I am also kind of in a big, we're in this sort of phase of fine tuning and perfecting. And like, you know, when you open a spot, you kind of have your systems, like you just set them up. And it's kind of like when you move into a house and you unpack your stuff in the kitchen and 5 years later, you're like, is this exactly where this stuff should be? This is just where I put it. It's how I've been living with it.
Right. But like
for 5 years, we've been doing a schedule on a Google sheet and emailing it to people. And then we're like, maybe there's a better way to be doing this. And I think it's a little unnerving because as restaurateurs, you get hit with so many products and do this and you need this and optimize and blah. And it feels a little overwhelming. But also I think part of my, you know, apprehension to expand is like, I want to make sure what we're doing now is really dialed and efficient and feels, you know, so streamlined before bringing copycatting a system to another spot. So, yeah.
Well, I've been having this conversation a lot recently with people that own restaurants. I don't know how y'all manage there's 250 to 300 restaurant technology companies in existence right now, selling everything from scheduling to online ordering to websites to, you know, whatever.
Oh, it's so much noise.
Like, how do you do that? Like, I'm super curious. Like, I don't know how. I can't imagine. Like, I've been thinking about it a lot. I keep thinking about if I own a restaurant and I have on any given day 300 different people trying to sell me their product, just in technology. That doesn't have anything to do with all the other aspects of the restaurant, food purveyors and all that stuff. But like,
yeah,
the amount of noise has got to be, I guess you're saying it's got to be overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, you mostly just delete emails.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for something like, it depends on the scale of your restaurant. Like, we have a small restaurant, so we don't need to like scan our invoices and have the, you know, we just, there's certain things, certain tools that just don't make sense for us. But it does always make you wonder, are there tools I'm not optimizing? And this could be easier. And but it's also such a learning curve to adopt and integrate a new thing that sometimes you're kind of hesitant to change any system because like, oh, it's fine the way it is. But I'm not answering your question really, but it's kind of, I think you just kind of take one thing at a time. Like, you know, we've changed POS systems, I think twice. And like, you know, every time it's so overwhelming and you're always like, wow, I'm really glad I did that. You know, no system is perfect, like especially POS or anything, but it does, usually it's worth the headache of adopting something. And I think then it's just listening to your gut about what do you truly need and figuring out, all right, we're a small business with not a huge ton of like profit. You can only pay for so many
special
services.
Yeah, I mean, you can die death by 1,000 cuts if you, you know, just are, you know, $30 here, $50 there, $129 there, $99 there.
Yeah.
We don't have sales people. We just have 5 people. I mean, we've just grown organically, and I'm thankful in a lot of ways for that. We don't want to be a contributor to just the constant noise, because it's hard for y'all to find a signal when there is that much noise. And you know, we just kind of relied on, let's just take great care of our customers, and you know.
Yeah. And it's nice having a company where you can be like, I'm going to email Will and ask him about this. Although I will be the first to say, our buddy Kika, who's like our director of operations, she's the one who's, you know, introduced and implemented Schedulefly, because she does all her scheduling, and I'm like blissfully ignorant, but so I'm not as like familiar with the software, but it's nice having a company that's small enough where you feel like I'm not going to get lost if I reach out and need support or whatnot.
That is, well, thank you. That's important to us. I mean, we've got, I have my cell phone numbers on the public facing website to this day. We won't be able to better reach us. I mean, I always, you know, it's like if you're serving I don't get why there's all these companies and I hear they have bad customer service. I mean, I won't name it, not like scheduling company, just saying like restaurant service providers. And you're like, but you're serving the industry that is built on the ultimate customer service, which is hospitality. Like, how can you not provide, you know, like, it's just, it's amazing to me. But but y'all have got just good for you. What a cool business y'all built. What a cool, you know, good lifestyle, good business. I mean, even just being right there in the neighborhood, like that's a great thing. So yeah, I tip my hat. I mean, it's really, there's so much pull in our culture and our society to just more and more and grow. And then people realize like, holy cow, I wasn't even around when my kids grew up. And that happened, you hear it all the freaking time. And so it's wonderful that y'all have been wise enough, you know, at your younger age to get that balance down. And I would just say, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't ever forget that, because it's lost in that stuff sometimes. But it's a good thing if you can find that balance.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what we do when our lease is up. I'll keep you posted.
When is that up?
I think Homer, we have 5 more years and we can renew. I mean, hopefully there's, you know, just that's such a moment in your life where you're like, are we still doing this? Are we doing something else? You know, but it's like, I feel like there's so many restaurant people that are like, well, what else would I do?
Right. Well, I hope y'all get to buy one or both of those buildings one day, if the folks that own them near your neighbors retire or whatever, you know, that that's the key there. Own that real estate if you can.
In the meantime, I feel like the key is hire good people, be really good to them, and you will have a good life.
Hire good people, be really good to them, and you'll have a good life. Yep. Be really good to your people. That's exactly right. People forget that sometimes too, particularly in your industry. It's there's all this technology, there's different foods and all this kind of stuff. But gosh, it's just about the people. If you don't have good food, you're done anyway. So but I find that like the places we gravitate to as a family, like we're going to see my stepmom tomorrow, and we're going to this up in Raleigh, and we're going to this place where, yes, the food's really good, but it is all about the people. The way they treat us when we're there, that's why we will always go back. You know, it's just, yeah, it's totally.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I know you have some other stuff going on. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Sorry I was late. Yeah, I'm heading to the dentist in a few minutes. So.
I hear you. One of those necessary. I need to do that. Easy to put those things off. Well, listen, tell Logan hello and thank you, and Kika and your whole team. We appreciate you, and we're proud to serve you. And thank you for taking the time to do this, Sarah. I really appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time to hear more about our story.
Well, it looks like it's a nice day there. No rain in Seattle. So go enjoy that nice sunny day.
Beautiful. I'm going to go get in the dentist chair.
All right. I'll see you.